Blog Talk Radio.
Don't let those other guys make your family share data. Switch to T-Mobile now and get four lines with up to 6 gigs each of 4G LTE data. Just $30 a line and no sharing. So ditch your data worries and switch to the Un-carrier today. Get to T-Mobile or call 1-800-T-Mobile.
Limited time offers plus taxes and fees. Capable device required. Coverage not available in some areas. See store for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I am your host, Lisa Zimmer, and we have a really fun show today. I didn't have to read a book in the last week. I didn't have to study anything. I am inviting you to join us today on our paranormal show with our guests Gary and Virginia Walters, who founded Fire and Ice Paranormal Investigators. And they are going to be with us today to really talk about what their work entails and how they deal with spirits and ghosts. In addition to Gary and Virginia Walters, I also have Thomas Gates, who has experienced near-death experiences and also has worked with spirits in transition. So we're going to talk a little bit with Thomas. And then our next and final guest is my good friend Cindy Plume, who lives with ghosts in her house. She talks to them. She converses. They don't scare her. She's used to them. So it's going to be a very lively and adventurous show. Feel free to post your comments on the chat room. I'm going to now introduce our investigators, Gary and Virginia Walters with Fire and Ice Paranormal Investigators. You guys, thank you so much for being with us today on Unlimited Realities.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Now, talk to me a little bit about your work. You deal with spirits, is that right? Have you gone into haunted homes, haunted places, and had to experience this firsthand, or how do you work a little bit?
Yes, we actually refer to ourselves as haunting resolutionists. We combine mediumship spirituality with science and technology. We kind of bridge the gap between the two. There's three different types of teams out there. There's the team that sees a couple shows on TV and they go out and buy a camera and they're hobbyists and they go out and investigate in graveyards and things like that. Then you have the teams that are serious research teams,
which we used to be part of before we started our own.
Right.
Ah.
That go out and actually do scientific research on trying to prove the existence of life after death using experiments and different equipment that's out there and things like that. And then there's an assistance team. The assistance team is actually somebody who helps cope with positive or negative spirits in a home, life coaching, things like that. Well, we've actually combined the latter two, the research team and the assistance team. There's people that we've dealt with for the last 4 years that we continually work with them and how to cope with what's there in the house.
Well, not only that, but also cope with the things that they've got going on, because right now the biggest influx that we're seeing is a lot of people are starting to come into what I call their own natural ability to see, hear, feel. So, of course, not having that, you know, even that they can remember growing up, now it's freaking them out because they don't know how to deal with it. That's where life coaching comes in. And a lot of the cases that we've had lately have been along that lines, not so much on a negative side of things in a home, but that there's messages that are trying to get across, or, you know, the people are not listening, you know, but yet they hear all these things, but they don't want to admit to it. So it's pretty much right now it's been a lot of life coaching.
Right.
Right.
We also, my wife and I are both Native American bloodlines. We're also both ordained ministers, so we can do Christian blessings on homes, things like that as well. We can do clearings, casting out, cleansings, blessings, things like that as well. So it's not just the tech that we use. We also use the spiritual side as well. My wife is a very gifted clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. I myself is, I call myself, I'm as sensitive as a cabbage, because I'm not sensitive at all, very little.
But then we have the same mixture within our team. You know, a lot of our, all almost all of our team members are either on the side of being mediums, you know, being mediums or working towards that, or they're what I call the grounders. They keep us grounded while we're doing what we need to do.
Oh, that's cool. Well, share with us a little bit. Let's hear some really funky story. I want to hear, like, one of the hair stands up on the back of your neck, goosebumps down your arms kind of story. So, do you have one of those we could have?
Well, we've been called on. I've been studying demonology and angelology now for over 5 years.
There's a couple just recently. There's the one up in one in Bradenton where we had the individual channeling things.
Oh, that was kind
of. I would have to say that was pretty close to one of the most bizarre cases we'd ever walked in on.
A client
had experienced paranormal activity in their home. They had had several teams in there. We kind of go in, what we found out later, we've gone in and had to clean up after teams. Some teams going into houses and negatively provoking, calling things out, pretty much upsetting the natural balance of what was in the home.
And then leave.
So we actually go in there, and we're kind of like a cleanup crew. We go in there and fix the problem. This case, we went there, and a lot of reported paranormal activity, had several teams in there. After a while, she didn't care what was there. She just wanted it gone. That's when we got the referral.
We start with the prelim? Well, we had went, it was me, my husband, and another member of our team who is also on mediumship lines. We had went to the prelim, which is where we generally go through, do a questionnaire, and we get our own feel for the property to see whether or not it is something that we're going to have to deal with or if we're going to have to call someone else in to help us with it. As we were there, Dave, who was one of our members, had walked into this house. He wasn't even in there 2 minutes, and he literally walked out. He said it felt like someone was mentally attacking him.
Okay.
Well, that kind of explained the feel in the house. So as we're going through and we're talking with the homeowner and the friends next door, we find out that one of the friends next door is, quote-unquote, channeling energy, channeling spirits in this woman's home.
And she wouldn't do it any other place, only inside this lady's house. It was the only place that she would channel, and had no care for our clients that lived there. Didn't care about them. Was doing it inside this lady's home, and I don't know.
It was really awkward. Well, after we got through that, and we started explaining to this woman, because she's also physically ill, you know, that if she couldn't control the energy that's coming, you know, to her, then she shouldn't even be going there with the channeling. But at the same time, I'm breaking down our equipment, and I start feeling what I call a push, like someone is pushing on my own little bubble that I put up.
Okay.
So I kind of pushed back, and then about 2 minutes later, I feel a push again. Well, when I looked to my left, there was another person standing there who was related to the individual who was channeling. And it came back harder, but enough to where it felt like something was sitting on my chest. Well, when I pushed the energy back, they both started coughing, and they both exited the house. That was on a prelim.
Wow.
We had Dave outside. He would not go back into the house.
I actually took him outside, and I said, well, I understand you don't want to go back in the house. Let's walk the property. So he walked outside, and all he was getting is the word bus, like a school bus. Bus. Couldn't understand where bus came from. And come to find out from the owner, there was a biker gang that lived next door years and years ago, 15, 20 years ago, and had raped a girl and killed her, and buried her in her backyard and covered the body up with a bus.
Oh.
So it's, you know, stuff like this is what we get, and that's why I don't, all of my investigators, I don't have them tell anybody else what they're getting. They write it down, they give it to me, and I put it in my pocket until later, because I don't want anyone to pre-feed anybody else. Another case.
Well, even with this one, what happened was after we got done with the prelim, we decided, you know, just based on what I had dealt with the individuals in the physical, and then, you know, our member Dave dealing with it on the spiritual, like someone who's physically or mentally attacking him, we had decided to call another team in called PCA, which they deal a lot on the negative side, demon side of things. So we figured, you know, there's power numbers. There's always power numbers. So we had called them in to assist us with the actual clearing, cleansing of the home. Well, you get a bunch of people together that are spiritually open, of course, they start picking up on all kinds of things. So, you know, they're tagging the bus in the yard. There's multiple deaths on the property, not to include the one that's in the house. It was unreal, the kind of stuff that was going on in this home. So then, of course, once we targeted all this, we had to physically sit down with the homeowner, let her know, you need to stop. Stop having people in here. Stop channeling this energy. Stop doing this, because it's not making the situation any better.
Right. So, now, what else did you do? Did you use any type of, like, clearing or smudging or crystals or anything, like, tool-wise, or was it all energetic work?
We did a lot.
We do a lot of different things. We use Native American techniques for smudging, since we're both Native. We also use Huna, which is Native Polynesian. Christian, I'm an ordained minister, so we use a Christian blessing with anointed oil and holy water.
Well, on this one, we had PCA doing the Christian blessing with the anointed oil.
They also used frankincense and myrrh.
Yeah, it was frankincense and myrrh. And then I went behind them with Native American, but also at the same time we had to put what they call like an energy pyramid on the property to keep the energy from the neighbors from keeping coming over and just losing this home.
Just picture children of the porn. That's the way this whole thing went. Did four corners of the property with the crystals, and you know, we've had no complaints since then. So, but we of course talk to them. You know, we'll follow back up with them every couple of weeks to see if they're still doing what they're supposed to be doing and things like that. So it's just not the one and done. We go in there, and we actually help people through the situations that's going on. Another case that really struck home was, and I'm not going to mention any locations. I can't do that under confidentiality reasons. It was a case that my wife was called in with another team, and there was a team that actually went into the home before we did, and saying that they were mediums, and that there's a negative spirit there, and there's nothing they can do. They need to sell their house and move. That's what this other team told them. Well, my wife went into there
with my mentor.
With her mentor, and if you want to go ahead and explain.
We had went to this location the week after this team had been in there, under the assumption, because when we were told of the case, the first impression was everybody's heard of Amityville Horror, right?
Sure.
You see the picture of the house. So that's the feeling that we were getting, but not really looking at it as the bigger picture, just as the picture that we're getting. So this is the impression that both of us are getting. Now, mind you, my mentor is about 2.5 hours from me. We didn't talk about the case, but when we actually talked on the phone, this is the same thing we're getting. We get to the location, we walk into the house, totally not what we thought. We had actually picked up on the children that were in the home had been sexually abused by a family member. The youngest was 3 years old, and I'm not talking outer sexual, we're talking internal.
We went outside and talked about it.
Yeah, we went outside and
into the house. They turned off all the voice recorders. Yeah. They turned off all the cameras. They said, this cannot go on camera. No record. We need to sit down and have a serious heart-to-heart with you and let you know what's going on.
Yeah, we did. And the only thing that came out of our mouth was, there was, in order, because it was a touchy subject. I mean, how do you tell a homeowner that their children are being abused, you know, in a sexual matter?
Right.
It just, it's a case we've never came across, but it was something that had to be addressed. So when we sat down with the homeowner and her husband, and the only thing that came out of our mouth was there was some sexual inappropriate behavior that had happened in this home, and she knew right off the bat what we were talking about and started crying. That is one of the only cases that, to this day, even thinking about it, makes me bawl. Because had they listened to this other team, this three-year-old child would still be going through this to this day, and it's been a year.
That's a hard story to hear. That one. That's pretty. Now,
but
Thomas,
it's one of those things, though, that, you know, even though it's a hard story, all the signs were there. What started the whole ball was that there was paranormal activity going on in the home. But what she was thinking is automatically they assume because there's paranormal activity, it's negative, when in fact it was these guides coming in trying to point out, hello, you need to pay attention to your child, because the child was trying to tell them what was going on. They weren't listening.
Yeah. And that's a hard one too. That's, you know, a 3-year-old. That's very fragile. Now I'm going to bring Thomas in here. Thomas, can you join this conversation a little bit and talk to us a little bit about experiences that you've gone through in regard to souls that are kind of in between, or kind of in that, you know, the Catholics call it purgatory, but it's that in between state of not completely realize that they need to move on, or having some attachment to this earthly plane, that unfinished business, or even just shock, like when there's mass deaths, like we have in the tsunamis, and we have in earthquakes, and we have in things like that. A lot of times, I know the souls get disoriented, and they're not quite sure whether they're here or there, or where they are. Talk to us a little bit. I know you've had some experience in working with these souls, like in the in-between phases. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, what your experience has been, and how that we can move them through that, or when we're encountering a spirit that's kind of in that space, where, you know, things we can do to kind of allow them to move up to the light.
Yeah, sure. I've been on the show before, and as you know, that most of my work is devoted to the living, helping people move beyond the trauma of life that has affected them in ways very deep down, that can be, you know, freed from those stresses that become embedded within their physiology, and then impact them that way, and also, you know, the expansion of consciousness. However, I have had plenty of experiences in this regard, what you're discussing. One thing is that, you mentioned the major disasters. I've noticed the number of times when there's been events like this that I will just tune in and I'll start treating the general area. And I have run into many, many souls who don't know that their bodies have perished. And I'll see them just walking around confused, moving about, and just not knowing that they're gone. And really all I do is just have my attention on them. And I'm able to connect with them, and I just reassure them and help them understand what's happened in a very subtle way. It's not like we're having a conversation, anything like that. But I'll just stay with that and stay with them for a little bit, and then I'll see that they're okay, and then move on. So we've had that kind of experience. Also, the other thing that I've noticed is sometimes when I'm doing personal sessions with individuals who have had a loved one who has passed on, maybe for many years ago, but there were things left unresolved, some stresses between them, like a parent especially. Mostly that's what I've seen, is between parent and children, and I've had cases where someone would just be there, and I'd realize, oh, that's your mother or your father. Now, I don't have conversations like sitting here like I'm having with you right now.
Right.
There's some kind of understanding of why they're there, the real gist of why they're there. Like one lady in I had a session with, no idea. She didn't even have anything going about her mother at that time that she was telling me other things we were treating for. And the next thing I know, this presence is there, and I realize, oh, that's her mother. And so I told her, and then I got that the reason she was there is because she knew her mother apparently had quite a bit of stress and had given a lot of that stress to her daughter, too, and hadn't treated her well. And the mother was just simply there to tell her that she was sorry for anything that she had done that had been hurtful, that she didn't really mean to hurt her, but she was just doing the best that she could at the time under the circumstances, and she was sorry for that.
And also, don't you find, and it is very healing, and it's very important because, you know, that veil is a very sheer veil, and the energy between our dimension and our living form and spirit is very close. And so don't you find that as those souls who are trying to make contact with those who they've left behind, or they have remorse, or they have unfinished business, there's also an evolution that goes on with their soul, because even though there's that healing that goes on, whether it's parent or child, the soul that has already passed is also going to evolve by having that clarity, that closure, that connection, that
mm-hmm.
peace with
Absolutely.
Their loved ones as they
yeah.
move on. So there's a whole healing. There's a whole, you know, the circle of life, even though in this dimension we're alive or we're passed on, it's all the circle of life. And so all
Absolutely.
Of that energy, you know, connects and reconnects. Now let's talk to Cindy and bring some real humorous insight in here, because my girlfriend Cindy is very intuitive, and she's very sensitive, and she is very aware of energy and people, and she's extremely intuitive as well. In addition to this, Cindy has gotten very comfortable with living among the dead. So, Cindy, come talk to us and tell us, who are we having visit today in your home?
Oh, I have a couple that stick around. They just haven't left. Although I have gotten some messages from those that just needed to leave them, and that helped them to move on. There
okay.
was a question that I wanted to address in the room. I think it was Michael that asked. Is it Michael that asked? If,
Archangel Michael. Yes, that's a wonderful question.
Yeah,
like, do you use Archangel?
Well, and actually, I don't specifically. I have a different way, but I do ask for the angels when I've felt spirit here that was restless or confused. I generally will ask that they send me the angels that can help me the most. And so, in a sense, yes, you know, as far as calling in the archangels for help. When we first bought this place, we were brought here, and I wasn't sure why, but it was a thing we were brought back over and over, and we couldn't afford the house, and so we didn't buy it. But we felt a connection to the house for some strange reason, and 2 years after the first time that we looked at it, I got a phone call from a friend that said that house that you like is back on the market. Apparently, the owner had rented it, and the guy that he rented it to was a druggie, and so a lot of things went on here, and the house was torn up. So we ended up purchasing it. Well, as soon as we started doing the repair work, things started happening in the house that you couldn't explain. And my husband's an engineer, extremely analytical, and I'm also analytical in the sense of wanting to try to make sense of whatever it is that happened, but these things were things that you couldn't make sense out of. And to be completely honest, at the time, I was a little afraid. It felt like there were thick walls that I wasn't supposed to pass from room to room. But I'm not, I feel like there was something here that was helping me. And it got to a point where I took control and started asking for the help of the angels to get these spirits to leave. And I felt, as I walked from room to room, I could feel the energy of different spirits.
Right.
Whether it be, I knew if it was a man, a woman, and I felt their emotion, confusion, whether they were upset. Well, as I walked through, you know, I didn't talk out loud. It was more of, I guess, what you would call empathic thing. I would in my head tell them that they needed to go to the light. And slowly, they did. I should also mention that our house is sitting on 13 acres of historical property. And, yeah, and so I'm not sure. I think some of the energies were here because of what had happened with that tenant that was into drugs. But I think some of them were also here because they were attached to the land. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I do have two, a man and a woman, that haven't left. And I feel like the woman is extremely protective. She feels motherly and comforting. And I just, you know, it doesn't bother me that she's here at all. The man is more playful.
Don't you also have benevolent loved ones who come in and visit, like your grandmother? And
I've had what I think was my grandmother here. She died. I cared for her for 21 years prior to her death, and I was with her when she died, and I do believe that she has come in a sense to help me.
Now
she doesn't stay.
Now, in talking about, and I'm including all of you, Virginia, Gary, Thomas, Cindy, in this question, but in regard to feeling spirits, because my experience has been different senses are heightened depending upon the connection with the energy that I'm working with or dealing with or talking to, and there's also a lot of different emotions that you may pick up. Maybe Gary and Virginia have experienced this in working with people who have, and I hate to use the word hauntings because I think that that's a perceptional thing. I think that if you are feeling like, you know, it's haunting, then it's haunting. If you're feeling like it's unsettled, it's unsettled. But there's a lot that we bring to the table in our own projections and fears in regard to dealing with, you know, the spirit world, because so many of it is programmed within us. Now, in regard to all of you, when you've worked with spirits or you've talked with spirits, what do you feel is the pressing connection? Like, are they overall trying to connect with someone who's open so that they can get some more insight, guidance? Is it more that they want to be heard? Is it that they want to move on to the light and they don't know how to? I mean, there seems to be a whole different element of why spirits contact us is what I'm getting to. You know, there's different reasons, different meanings. Please, jump in.
Okay, well, this is Thomas, and the thing I've got, all those things you just said basically can describe, you know, the particular cases. Some are, they have a message or they have something to help the level he was still living. Others want to just clean up something so they can move on. Mm-hmm. And then there are a few of those, and I lived in a house, my sister and I grew up in a house that had poltergeists, I guess. We didn't know that at the time, that's what it was. We thought these were ghosts or something. But these guys, they didn't seem to have any desire to communicate with us. They only liked to do things that would either, for me, they and me. And they would do things that would get me in trouble at home. But the rest of the family, they would be very frightened. They did some very scary things for them at times. They didn't do that
wow.
too much to me, but a little bit. But so I don't know what their real purpose was. Many years later, I found out that there was a man who lived in a little shack on the land where our house was built. Of course, many years later after him, and I found out that a tornado had come through there and had taken his little shack and him, I'm assuming, because they never saw him again. So I had a feeling that he was somehow a part of this, but never had any open communication like other cases. So I know there's just so many different possibilities. And my own mother, she's come many times and has helped me, and her main purpose was always wanted me to be happy. And so she would come sometimes just to make sure that I was on my path of fulfilling my purpose in life. That was why she was there.
Did you feel like she came? Because there's different mediums or modalities that I have found that they come in on. Like a lot of times they like to work with electricity. A lot of times they come in with a smell. A lot of times you'll get goosebumps. You'll get the hair sticking up on the back of your neck. A lot of times you will actually hear their voice or a message, maybe something that you actually hear, or it's as if you hear it within your own thoughts and head. So, there's all these different ways that they come through, and sometimes that there's this piece that we're kind of in this doubting, pardon the pun here, Thomas, but we're in this doubting Thomas phase. And we're at that point of like, okay, yeah, sure, that was pretty funky and real, but hey, prove it some more. I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite convinced that was exactly. We're actually walking in that state naturally. It's that we pull ourselves out of it with our own fears and our doubts. That veil is something that we really do work into. And we had somebody in our chat room ask the question, and I want to pose this to all of you because I've worked with the energy of Archangel Michael, and it is by far one of the most powerful energies I've ever worked with. And it's a very clearing, cleansing energy when you have to work with that clearing component. Have you, any of you had an experience or intentionally worked with Archangel Michael in regard to clearing or releasing a soul or sending a soul to God's light and love or any of that? Because there's Rick Wood did Rick Wood pose the question? Yes, Rick Wood posed the question on the chat room here. So has anybody experienced anything like that?
Yes, actually my husband can tell you a wonderful little story. We have this thing where whenever we do prelims, we always say a prayer. We always say the Archangel Michael prayer every time. Before we go in, before we leave the property, that way nothing comes home with us. Well, there was one particular case that we had that we did a prelim on, and before we even walked out of the house, I had told, because it was three of us there, and I told everybody, make sure you say a prayer, because this was nasty. It was not good.
Right.
And, I said mine before I left, and I'm thinking of my husband, who is very devout to this prayer, had said his, and that, another investigator we were with had said hers, assuming.
She was a police officer. Didn't think that nothing like this could happen to her or whatever, right? And
right.
She ended up not saying the prayer.
And within a couple of days, she was calling me because all, excuse the pun, hell was breaking loose in her house. The cabinet doors opening up. She had the sleep paralysis thing going on. Septic system backed up into the house, and this was within 48 hours. Now, the other thing was, when we left this place, we had taken separate vehicles. My husband was in his vehicle. I was in mine. Well, we get onto I-75 where we're at, and I had actually called him up, and I had asked him, you know, did you say your prayer? Well, no sooner did I say that, we got cut off by a bus that caught on fire.
Oh.
So he's ahead of this bus, and I'm behind this bus stuck there, and he's like, no, I didn't, and he hangs up. So I'm sitting here behind a bus that's on fire thinking, okay, is he going to say it? I can't get a hold of him, couldn't get through.
So I decided, I'm driving home, I had forgotten, so I said the St. Michael's Prayer, and it's the first time, me being not sensitive, I'm a former Marine, I'm a former cop, I see things in black and white and didn't really realize the power of saying the prayer at that time. So I said the St. Michael's Prayer, and I actually felt on my back, felt like two feathers. From my shoulders up to the middle of my back, like something that was actually just being taken off my shoulders and was no longer with me. And I'd never experienced anything like that before in my entire life. And so from that point forward, we do not do an investigation without saying a prayer before we go in and saying a prayer after. As a matter of fact, I'll get everyone in a circle. We'll actually hold hands together. And I'll make sure everybody says a prayer because
felt
it. That's really very
good. That's powerful because it is. Mm-hmm. You know, Archangel Michael, it's almost immediate. I feel when I call him in, it's like an immediate right there. And I would strongly encourage the audience, listening audience, that if you do, you know, have an encounter or an energy that isn't benevolent, you know, use your spiritual beliefs, but keep in mind that if you want to access Archangel Michael, there's a lot of support and spiritual clearance with that energy. So those are wonderful stories. That's now, where are you're in South Florida? Is that right, Virginia and Gary?
Yes.
Okay, so people can contact you at www.fireandice.com. Is that right?
That's fireandiceparanormal.com.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's fine. We actually handle the entire state. As a matter of fact, we're dealing with a client right now in the Panhandle. Which is probably 8-hour drive from us.
But you know, when you're dealing with kids, it doesn't matter.
Kids are a priority.
Yeah, right.
When there's kids involved,
it doesn't matter. It could take 12 hours. It doesn't matter.
Push kids to the side to help people with kids.
Right. That's and you know, in this, as I'm sure all of you know, in this day and age where the energy is so quickly accelerated, and we're all just kind of on the edge of our seats and our tiptoes in regard to our awareness and our connectedness, children, because they have so less crap than all of us, are so much more finely tuned in to the spirit world that their little nervous systems and their little souls are being bombarded far more than we're recognizing today. And, you know, you can see it even with young adults because you'll see the power in what they're focusing on or what they're being led to or what their desires are. And a lot of times we'll see it in our culture and our society on more of a darker side, which is where they've pulled in the vampire energy and the zombie energy and all of that. Because the energy is here and they have to define it as something, they're putting it in different little boxes. And so, you know, the children of today are so much more sensitive and tapped in. And I'm afraid that a lot of the sensitivity and this intuitive connectedness that these children have is being misdiagnosed as ADD, ADHD, hyperactivity, whatever. Because
I completely agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Parents do not know how to work with the energy. And so you've got these little hypersensitive souls, you know, moving through things, and they don't know how to interpret it. They don't know how to talk to their parents about it. So it's a subject that we really need to kind of take the barn doors off and let fly out of the coop, because you've got this energy that's been with us forever. It's not something that, you know, you can put on a shelf and say, oh, yeah, we'll deal with it later. It's here. We're walking in it. We're walking with, you know, soul and spirit every day, every moment. And those loved ones who have passed on are with us. All we have to do is reach out and talk to them. But
well,
the
key here is with parents, especially those that may be listening, you know, like you said, the children who are ADHD or have been diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, hyperactivity, what they don't understand is with that energy that they hold on to, because we have a child who is hyperactive, but he is also very, very, very sensitive. Both of our children are. But, you know, instead of trying to push that medicine, they need to really dig. They need to be the parent. They need to take control. They need to find out what's going on. They really need to connect with the child, not try and push it off on taking them to the doctor and putting the pill down their throat. That doesn't solve it.
Right.
Because even though that's a temporary fix, when at a young age, you know, when they become into puberty, it's going to be three times worse.
That's right, because it's, you know, it's one of those things, they're suppressing it and they're masking it, because you can't cover up spiritual connectedness. It's going to come out, and if you repress it, it's not going to come out very pretty. And so, you know, you've got all these things that are, the thing is, you've got so many parents who don't know how the hell to deal with it. They don't know how to address it. They're scared of it. They're scared of energy. So you've got this perpetual motion. You know, it'd be great if parents could sit down and, you know, we're taking this as a you know, an assumed phenomenon that parents are actually going to do this and sit down and discuss with their children, what is it you're feeling? What did the spirit say? Well, I'm sorry, I have pretty evolved friends, and I would say out of my evolved friends, I probably have 10% who could sit down and do that. So, you know, there's a whole missing link here in regard to acceptability. And also
right,
a missing link, you know, it's almost like, oh, that's what you're into? Well, you're a freak, and let's turn around and walk the other way, and we're not going to deal with this. And don't tell anybody out in public that you see ghosts. Because, you know,
my grandson started seeing spirits when he was four, and he still does, and he was terrified, and I had to spend quite a bit of time with him to help him to understand and teach him how to take his power back.
Right. And, you know, the thing is, all children are connected to the spirit world. It's not just certain children. All children are connected. Now, their ability of how connected they are varies and is different depending upon their own soul purpose. But all children are connected, and the reason why is because they don't have the crap that we've developed over 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. So,
well,
you know,
yeah,
the kids are an open little vessel.
Also, there is something that most parents just don't even realize, is that when children come into the world, their brain function is different than an adult. It hasn't developed into some of the other brainwave functioning. It's not there.
Right.
But the brainwave functioning that is there is of the nature that they are able to perceive things that are more subtle. I remember when I was like three years old, I can remember back that far in particular instances that I would see things, and I knew that it was real. And I would say, oh, you know, look, and the parent or the adult would say, oh, they'd look, and they'd go, oh, no, you don't see that. And I go, yeah, I do. And they keep saying, no, you don't. You're just dreaming or whatever. And finally, I would just get mad about it, and then I would pout, and then I would, like, just, I would shut up. So after a while.
Did you pout, Thomas?
Yeah, I did.
When children are young, every one of them have the ability. Every person has the ability. We believe that you become conditioned to turn that off. For example, if you're 3 or 4 or 5, 6 years old and you're laying in your room and you know you saw something in the corner of the room or underneath your bed or in the closet, and you holler for your mom and dad to come in here, and they, what do? They turn on the lights and
they open up the closet door and say, there's nothing here.
I mean, you believe your parents. Who else are you going to believe? So you start telling yourself, okay, well, maybe there isn't something there, and you start conditioning yourself and you start turning that ability off. Some people don't, though. So you actually become conditioned to turn that off.
Well, and society encourages that too. I mean, it's
yes.
only now that you can say the word intuition. You know, I mean, it, you know, my kids even would tell people that I was, you know, different modalities. I was a consultant. I was a therapist. I was all these things because they were afraid to use the word intuition, because I do live in a very Christian-oriented community, and it's very narrow-minded. And that's not to say that Christianity or spirituality or any type of religion is narrow-minded. However, when you're in a little bit of a southern realm of Bible Belt mentality of Christianity, it can be a little narrow-minded. And so,
yes.
you know, kids also adapt to what society accepts. And my kids for years would be like, they loved the fact of the work that I did, but they didn't know how to explain it to their friends because their friends went to the First Baptist Church down the street. And I was a satanic, you know, blip on the screen of life. So, you know, in that kind of a mentality, we've got to step out of ourselves a little bit and realize that, you know, God is everywhere. There's not just these nice little neat boxes. I mean, we have many cultures and many beliefs and many religions, and it's God exists, spirits exist, ghosts exist in every dimension and every religion. So we've got to start, you know, giving our kids more power to express themselves, to really feel free
that
they can talk.
Well, even now when they do that, because we had an experience with our son who, this was when he really started coming into hearing things, and it was not a positive, it was a negative that he started hearing. He had went to the counselor thinking that he could, you know, talk to her in confidence. And this counselor calls me up at work and tells me I need to come get my son because he's crying. Okay, I'm there. The first thing out of her mouth was, you know, you need to speak with your son because he's claiming that he's hearing things. And normally when we hear that, we send them over to Charter Glade or Ruth Cooper, which is a mental facility.
Exactly.
So even these schools, especially in this day and age, you know,
right.
I've made a point with the schools that my kids go to, with the counselors. You know, I don't care what they believe in. This is what we are. You know, this is who
right.
we are. If my child comes to you and tells you he's hearing things, you better call me up on the phone so I can come deal with it. There is no
right.
Charter Glade. There is Ruth Cooper. He's not mental. This is a natural ability that he and my daughter have. You know,
right.
but
or,
that's the first thing they have. They assume it's
of
a
course.
Mental disability.
Well, they immediately go to schizophrenia, and the
yeah.
drugs that they put you on for schizophrenia are horrendous. I mean, I've
mm-hmm.
I've watched someone that I loved be diagnosed and put on that, and it was a horrific, because it was misdiagnosed. It was completely misdiagnosed, and, you know, this was an adult who sat like a zombie for, you know, 12 hours a day with the medication, and it was simply because, you know, he wasn't being able to assimilate the energy and the information coming through because he was very intuitive, he was very sensitive, and he, you know, but it was to watch somebody, you know, and there's no, you know, it's not like it's a brother or a biological connection that you can step in and say certain things. There's some things you can say to certain people and some things you can't, you know, and if it's a brother or a sibling or somebody of bloodline, you know, I feel more free to say something than to somebody who's just a friend. And, you know, those drugs are horrific, and that's the first thing. I mean, these drugs that they've got people on, it's literally, I believe, to numb the senses. It's to dumb down,
sure. yeah.
you know, this whole intuitive link that's opening up right now. And, yes, of course we have an epidemic of depression, you know, if for nothing else our economy sucks. But we also have this increase of consciousness that's going on the planet, and people are waking up more, they're hearing more, they're feeling more, they're sensitizing. So there's this whole link that needs to be really blasted when it comes to the medical community and the mental health, because, you know, the world is not 1955, and we can't just take a pill and make something go away. We have to dig. And we have
and,
to explore
and we
ourselves.
Can't go back to that time either. A lot of people like to feel like, let's go back to a time when it was like easier or whatever, you know. But we don't go backwards.
You could
We're
luck
always
with that,
evolving.
Right?
And right now, where you look all around the world, everywhere, everybody is moving in that direction for more wholeness of life and like fulfilling our whole human purpose. And so we just can't, not only can we not go backwards, but we can't stand still. We can, but
right.
we might suffer a lot more. So there
That's
is.
That's right.
You know,
we have to stay fluid.
I think the I'm seeing, because I do some work with healthcare professionals, training them to use some of the method that I have, and they are open, and there is some movement in that direction. But of course, you know, it could go a lot faster.
And there's certain areas that are more receptive too. Like I find out west in the United States, like you've got, you know, the New Mexico, you've got Albuquerque's very progressive in you know, new thinking and new thought when it comes to, you know, mental health and the body. And you've got California, and you've got, you know, some of the bigger areas of, you know, medical research are becoming, in fact, they're actually starting out west in California a training to teach doctors how to become more intuitive. And I find that wonderful because I've been working with my sister for a few years with people who are dying and passing on. And she's a physician, and I work on the spiritual realm, and we combine our energies that way as well. But it's amazing to me that there is such an increase of people who are seeking and not knowing what it is they're seeking because they're feeling so much. And so that kind of needs to be blasted from the, you know, the towers right now. Now, let's talk about, we have a few minutes left. It looks like we have about 10 minutes left on the show. So, Thomas, let's talk a little bit about Cindy, Thomas, Virginia, Gary, all of you. Let's talk a little bit about what we can do to tell our audience on how to send spirit to the light. Now, we've talked about using Archangel Michael. Smudging I always use, which is you know, Native American, which Virginia and Gary also use in their cleansing of sage, burning sage. You want to discuss maybe that ritual of using sage or smudging, Gary and Virginia, and the purpose of that, what the purpose of sage is in regard to cleansing energy?
It depends on what, every case has been different, and we use a different concoction of sage with other stuff in there. She gets through her spirit guides, will tell her what she needs to use at each place, but usually it's a base of sage, and there's
sage, sweetgrass, and lavender is your basic
right, okay,
your basic mixture. You know, your sage is used to clear energy out. The lavender is, I believe, to promote the harmony part, and the sweetgrass is almost, I think it's more of a protection, or in that lines. That's generally it. But a lot of times when we do cases, depending on what's needed, you know, it's generally like on Wednesday, because we usually schedule them on the weekends during the day because it's easier. And usually by Wednesday, you know, there's some new thing I need to add, like mugwort, or I think the newest one was nettle, which I've never even heard of, but I'm not going to question, you know, what they're telling me I have to use. Another thing is a holy herb called Herba Santa, which is used in the same form as white sage. It's just got a higher protection property when you're smudging a home in order to release the energy and keep the energy out.
And when you do this, what are you saying? Because there's a procedure that you go through. What do you, when you start off in the corner and you start working your way around in a clockwise position and you're saying a prayer of healing and releasing, do you have a specific prayer or statement that you use?
Generally, Gary is doing the armor and the hedge.
I use the hedge prayer. And I also read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, to ask the family to put on a protection of armor. I also use St. Michael's prayer. I use the Lord's prayer.
But then on my end of it, it's generally the same time that I'm getting what else I need to add to my mixture, I'm getting this is the prayer you need to be using. It's never the same. It's always different. It's generally releasing of negative energy. Calling on, you know, the grandfather, grandmother, just the different, you know, northeast, southwest.
Right.
It's all different. It's never been the same. Every time we've done a cleansing or a clearing, or even when I do energy work on people, because I do Reiki also, it's always different. It's never been the same prayer.
Well, would you suggest, because I believe that spirit speaks to all of us individually, and if someone had an intention of clearing the energy from their home, I do believe that spirit would give them the right words to use in clearing that energy. So what I want to add to the audience is really trust the spirit flow of what's coming through to you on what to say if you can't gather up the words, or use a favorite prayer, or use something that resonates with you, but with the intention of releasing negative energy and sending all disjointed energies and spirits to the light. And actually, you know, there's also that vortex that you open up in the corner of your room, and you end up sending them through the vortex into the light as well. So there's a lot that will come to you in regard to clearing the energy out of a room, and also, you know, spirit will speak to you individually. So trust that connection, audience, because you're
also
not any lacking in connection than anyone else. So we're all connected, and we all have that ability.
Yeah. Right. I think there's one really important thing, too, also to remember, is that since we're all individual souls, both those living and those who have sort of departed the physical realm, is that we all have a path in our evolutionary process. And we don't know what's correct for any other person. So one of the things that I do in my work is I always have a little, it's like a little prayer, so it's an intention, really. And that is basically, I might say something like, I call upon the divine presence and guidance of, and I say whoever I resonate with, whether that be, you know, the healing angels or whoever, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, could be anybody. Anyone. But anyway, you say that, and then you say, may it be for the highest good of all present. Because that includes you, that includes everybody that's involved in the spirits and everything, and because that's what we really want. We don't know how they may go, but we want the highest good for all. And how that occurs, then that we've stated that intention, and hopefully, you know, that will help. But we also have called upon that divine guidance and presence and those who can help.
It's not what religious belief you've had, because there's so many different sects and different things. How many different named religions are in Christianity alone? I mean, it's the intent of what you're saying.
Right.
It's your intent.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Right. The intent is what's so important. Now, Thomas, how can people get a hold of you? I've got a chat room full of people here, and someone's asking, they want some more information. So let's get this out there before we get cut off on our show. I have fireandiceparanormal.com to get a hold of Virginia and Gary Walters of Paranormal Investigators. And we have thomasgates.com for Thomas, who also works with your energy and healing as well as spirit world. So you have two, and if you want to connect with my pal Cindy, she's on Facebook. It's Cindy Plume. She'd love to chat with you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That would be fun.
But you guys, thanks so much for being on the show today. This has been a very lively topic. It's been great having all of you. You're all wonderful, wonderful guests. Any last comments any of you would like to share for our audience? Sum up anything, or a comment about trusting themselves in regard to working with spirit?
The key when you're dealing with spirit is don't automatically assume that it's all negative. You know, that's the hype right now. Everybody assumes that when you have some type of spirit communication going on, that it's a negative thing. It's not all negative. A lot of times it's just someone coming through to let you know, hey, I'm here. You asked.
And confused, you know? It could be just, you know, we get confused here on the earth plane. Why, you know, if they're in between places, why would they not have a little tad of confusion if they don't know where they're going? So,
they're the same in death as they were in life. They have the same emotions, the same feelings. They are the same. They're just not in physical form. That's right. The only difference.
Trust right. your intuition. Listen
Excellent.
To that whisper.
That's right. Feel the nudge. Know what it means. Good
mm-hmm.
point.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great.
And maybe one thing, too, to remember is that, you know, this whole life and death thing, if you think of it like a coin, you know, one side there's heads, the other side there's tails, but if you turn that coin edgeways and you look, there's something that is also connecting those two, but is also a part of it. So that it's not
Ooh.
A separate reality. It's just one
Ooh,
big
I
giant
love that.
Creation that we all live within.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I'm big
not
on
being
analogies.
Afraid.
That's great. That's great, Tom.
Yeah, I've got a million of them. I don't know. I love those.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got 10 seconds. I better just bless all of you. Thank you. God bless you for being with us today. Thank you so much. You've been wonderful guests. Audience, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. Next week we have Dane here, who's going to be talking about access consciousness. That's going to be a really fun show. So tune in next week, Thursday at 11:30. God bless all of you. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a great show.
Thank you for having
you guys
us.
Have
thank
a blessed
you.
Week.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah,
thank
black.
You, Virginia,
so
Gary, Thomas, Cindy. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody. Many blessings. Bye-bye.
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 Adding the choice of a crispy chicken BLT to Wendy's 4-for-4 is the biggest thing since rappers trying to sing.
I got me hot and I sound like a robot.
But do you like the sound of this? Wendy's 4-for-4 now comes with a choice of a junior bacon cheeseburger or a crispy chicken BLT.
From Detroit to Macon, I keep it crisp like bacon.
Both are topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon and come with 4 nuggets, fries, and a Coke for just $4.
Oh, yeah.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, meal includes small fries and a drink. Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. Adding the choice of a crispy chicken BLT to Wendy's 4-for-4 is the biggest thing since rappers trying to sing.
I got me hot and I sound like a robot.
But do you like the sound of this? Wendy's 4-for-4 now comes with a choice of a junior bacon cheeseburger or a crispy chicken BLT.
From Detroit to Macon, I keep it crisp like bacon.
Both are topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon and come with 4 nuggets, fries, and a Coke for just $4.
Oh, yeah.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, meal includes small fries and a drink. Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Jesus Christ.